Oh, welcome in to a daily editorial here on the KE Report. Kicking off today with Allison Ostrander, Director of Risk Tolerance and Options Trader over at Simpler Trading. Now, Allison, let's focus on this sector of streaming services. This is a big week for this sector because Disney has just launched their new streaming service, which really just adds to the amount of options that consumers have. Even recently, my wife and I were talking about this new offering and if we're going to need to order it because of our daughter, which, you know what, we probably will, but just not quite yet. And just how many streaming services people, individuals, households for that matter, can take on because of all the options out there right now. Let's first start with Disney, though. How do you think Disney is playing into this market considering all the content that they are coming to the market with?
Well, I think Disney actually kind of had the right idea compared to some of the other streaming services that launched well after the Netflix and the Amazon, if you will. And what they did was not only are they just offering their own Disney Plus service, which of course Disney has a household amount of content, right, between their classic animated movies to their television, to the different, you know, people that they're with, like National Geographic and all their documentaries, and of course the Star Wars and Marvel Universe. So they have a nice catalog of things that they can pull from just to fill their own service. But what they've also done is they've taken their majority hold in Hulu, which is another popular streaming service, as well as ESPN Plus, and have combined that as well into its own subscription. So you can just go with the basic one of Disney Plus. It was relatively inexpensive at $6.99 or $7.99 a month or so. Or you could go with the bundle of all three of these streaming services for $12.99. And I think that was the smart idea there, because not only are they offering their own individual service, but they're offering two other streaming services all at a similar price as just one single Netflix subscription. So by kind of bundling their services, if you will, and still allowing that freedom of streaming, of choosing what you want in content and binging it and all that fun stuff at a more inexpensive price, or you can get for just one streaming service, it kind of has a consumer leaning towards that deal, because at least you can still get a lot of your TV shows that you would watch from Hulu that you would have on cable. And at the same time, it feels like you're getting a little bit more and still keeping the sports on with ESPN Plus and still having the classic Disney vault, if you will, especially, which is, you know, great for families out there and little ones. So.
Yeah, I think that combination of being able to add ESPN Plus to it really does appeal to the family. That's what I sign up for. A lot of my streaming services are sports focused. And, well, my wife, we sign up for Netflix and even Crave TV up here in Canada, which is, again, just more of the, I guess, family programming or TV shows. So Disney is taking kind of a unique approach to this. And you know what? Disney's stock has performed very well this year, went through a major move back in April, reached an all-time high of about 147 in late July, but has or did sell off a little bit, having a very good week this week and a good week last week, not quite at the all-time highs though. Do you think that this news, even before we see any results from any signups or subscriptions, that it could just continue to push the Disney stock higher?
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because there have been some news that just recently came out that they have had about, I think, 10 million subscribers within the first day for signups. So there's definitely a huge chunk there. And that in turn has started to drive the price up a bit more, where it's getting close now to those all-time highs as we talk. So it's certainly starting to boost it up. Prior to that release this morning, it was kind of a non-news event. It, you know, had a nice move higher after the earnings announcement, which also just happened recently. But it was still, you know, kind of chopping around and maintaining right about that 140 level. Since that news came out, the price has been able to strongly break that. And now we're getting closer to those all-time highs around 147 recently. What's interesting to me is the big pop that we had earlier this year was whenever they announced the streaming service was going to be the case, and also talked about a potential price point that they were looking at for these bundles as well. So it's interesting that move higher that we had earlier this year was the announcement, if you will, that this was going to be launched this year. And now this second move that we're trying to see a push to the upside with is from the launch itself. So I think, you know, the market's kind of happy with the numbers. I personally thought that this was going to be already priced in a bit more, but it looks like it's still adding some strength to Disney to at least retest those highs, if not potentially make some new ones as it gets closer to 150.
Now, what do you think about some of their competitors? The best known being Netflix. It's had more or less a choppy year and is down on the year. Any competition or additional competition you would think is more or less negative for Netflix, but you know what? They knew this competition was coming. So what do you think about some of the action in the Netflix shares?
Well, it is down today. And I do think a part of that is because Disney's, you know, up some. It certainly has some investors, you know, a little bit more spooked because this is, of course, going to cut in some way into their market share. And eventually, with the deals that they had with Disney prior for content, those contracts are going to set to expire. You know, more than likely, Disney's not going to continue it because they'll just put it on their own platform. So there is that concern outweighing in the future. I think some of that has already been priced into Netflix. And this move lower today currently is bringing it right back into a support level. And so I think if anything, it's, you know, maybe a down day today, but overall Netflix is probably going to remain a bit more choppy here. And unless it really starts to break 250, I am not as concerned to it, at least at this point, to the downside. The one question and thing I was actually talking about earlier today about Netflix with in regards to streaming services is it will see a part of its market share go away or maybe decrease some with Disney coming out. But I still think a good chunk of people will stay with Netflix. One, you know, it was, you know, the start of the streaming services. They've created a lot of their own original content that keeps people coming back for one season after the next, like Stranger Things. The Ozarks was another big show that won a lot of awards this year. So you could see people coming back for shows like that. And Netflix, to me, is based more off the individual sign up, more off of an adult as well as a family sign up. Whereas Disney Plus, to me, even, you know, a bit more with the sports and Hulu trying to be added in there, seems like more of a family sign up overall. I would, as a single person, would sign up for Netflix probably over Disney Plus. But now as I move more into a family and have a daughter of my own, Disney Plus might be one that I add on. But for me personally, it doesn't change the fact that I'm going to continue to watch and keep Netflix because now I'm already hooked onto their original content and I'd like to see, you know, how what happens next and where these shows go from there. So Netflix has the edge of starting off first and already having the original content out there. And I think the fact that a lot of their content is made for both mature audiences and families gives it the edge over Disney, which is in the back of our heads, more known as a family-friendly entertainment group, if you will.
Yes, it is. And one other thing I think that we all need to consider is that these services are really affordable, too, on a monthly basis. They don't hit your pocketbook very hard. So there is a good possibility that at least subscribers stay subscribed. But I know it's all about subscriber growth and even some of Netflix's recent comments that they are looking internationally to continue to grow. That could be their area if they could get in there to continue to build their subscriber base. But overall, we are seeing a lot more competition. Let's also talk about Amazon, too, because Amazon, well, it's a lot of things, but it does also stream some programming. What do you think about how Amazon could be impacted and just the Amazon price overall?
Well, I do think Amazon will be impacted some, right? It does have service, which is certainly great, a part of their Prime membership and everything else. But unlike Netflix, Amazon is, of course, a lot more diverse. It has a lot more different services available, from web services to, of course, its online shopping. So I don't think it will see as dramatic of a, you know, chomp, if you will, in their overall profits and their earnings from quarter to quarter compared to what Netflix might see from Disney launching their streaming service. However, the chart itself on Amazon to me does look a little bit weak just from the technicals. And if we do start to strongly break below 1764, which we've started to break below it now, but if we continue to strongly hold below that level and trend to the downside, I do think there's a good possibility that we could see a move back down towards 1700 to retest that as a support level just with some of the technicals that Amazon's showing at this moment.
Now, even a move down to, say, 1700, that's not that depressing or that's not that significant overall. But I think the more important part is, do you see any of these services or any of these high-flying tech stocks? I guess Disney isn't a high-flying tech stock, but it is getting into that arena now. Do you see any of them going through any major price breakdowns?
For me, Amazon could potentially see that if we end up breaking the weekly support, which is, for me, the 100 period simple moving average, and it's right by that 1700 price psychological level. Currently, right now, it's at 1696 on my charts. So if we really start to strongly break below that level, that to me is a stronger sign of weakness for Amazon that we might be going into a bearish trend or maybe getting a stronger reversal back down to a monthly support level, which could, the next one on the monthly chart could be all the way down to around 1550 or so. So that's, you know, a big chunk compared to the 60 point move that I'm first anticipating at this point. The reason why I say that is Amazon hasn't really seen a break or a trade, the price trade below that 100 period simple moving average, a little shy of 5 years now. So it's maintained that as a pretty strong support level. Even on the reversal that we had going into the end of last year, that was the level that we went down to, tested, it held, and then we had the bounce back up. And now we're back to where we're testing it or potentially going to go down and test it once again. So to me, as long as that level holds, it still looks like a bullish trend. But if we do start to break that, I would be concerned about a stronger reversal in Amazon occurring.
All right, Allison, we're going to wrap it up. Great having you back on the show. If anybody wants Allison and I to look into any of the charts for companies that you guys are following, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. And in the meantime, you can click that link below and go visit that Simpler Trading website to follow along with what Allison and some of the other members at Simpler Trading are trading and talking about. Allison, thanks for your time today.
Thanks so much.